You're listening to the Perfectly Imperfect Social Podcast, a podcast designed to help female entrepreneurs like you stand out authentically and genuinely on social media. I want to get you creating the social media content that may be imperfect for others, but it's right for you and your business. I'm your host, Kirsten Jordan. I'm a social media content strategist, and I'm excited you are here today. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Perfectly Imperfect Social, where we like to talk about all things social media, digital marketing from the female entrepreneur's lens. And today I have a special guest, Mel. She is the chief word nerd at Tripod Business Services because she likes to keep the big picture clear. And we're going to be diving into a topic that I've been thinking a lot about recently, especially from a content perspective, the idea of originality. And are ideas original anymore? Or are we all just sort of repurposing and putting our own spin on ideas? So Mel is going to talk to us a little bit about that and share her perspective. So welcome, Mel.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. I think I said this on a recent podcast episode, but selfishly, one of the reasons that I decided to start a podcast is I get to meet new people and I love meeting new people and finding out more what you do and what you have to offer. And it's always good to learn from one another, I feel. So before we get into this idea of originality, I've been liking to start each interview with a little bit of an icebreaker question these days. And so for you, because you are a word nerd, I do have the question of what's the best thing you've read lately and why?
Well, besides all the kids' books I've been reading, my son's four, Essentialism by Greg McKeown. I am obsessed with it. It's about focus and about doing the things that are essential. And so I find it really good for me because I get a little bit of shiny new syndrome or shiny new thing syndrome where I want to do all the things, but that's not realistic or sustainable or practical. So it's a really good book about honing in on things and finding focus about what's going to make a difference and make the most difference. It's a good read.
How did you discover it?
That's a good question. I think it was in somebody else's podcast, a roundup of favorite business books. And I was like, yes, I need that.
Cool. Yeah, I think everybody always loves to know what each other is reading and sort of, especially from a business book perspective, it's always neat what people are reading. And I haven't heard about that one before, so I'll have to go and check that out. Okay. For some reason, I thought you were going to be like wired for story or something to do with words. Okay. So before we dive into things, I'd love to know a little bit more about what it is that you do. And I know my listeners would as well. So what exactly is a chief word nerd at Tripod Business?
So we provide content strategy and copywriting services for entrepreneurs, mostly female entrepreneurs and small businesses. So if it can be written, we can write it.
Very cool. So, and what made you decide to go into this world?
I love to write. I love it so much. I think there's so much power in words. And it's also sometimes in our businesses, we get really stuck in writing because we are too close to it. So it's a really helpful service to have somebody that's a little bit removed, looking from an outside perspective in to kind of help with your messaging and really hone that. So I love it.
Yeah. And it's funny. I know writing can be very, very stressful for some people, especially social media writing, which is, it always mind-boggling to me because people are scrolling so fast. They're not taking probably word for word what you write, but everybody is overthinking the social media content side of things. Before we get into the originality conversation, because everybody has a unique voice. And when I think about female entrepreneurs, a lot of them are their business. They are their brand. How do you get into their heads and write from their perspective? Is it that something that's easy to do or tricky?
It can be both. It can be both. For me, I like to have our, like my first meeting with a new client is a long meeting where I'll ask 1,000 questions. They're kind of sick of me by the end of it. And also going back to if they've been on podcasts, listening to their voice and being in their social media and just really getting to know somebody, you start to be able to kind of embody that voice. And almost like acting.
Yeah. No, I know in the work that I do, it does take me a while to kind of find my groove because everybody is different, right? And some people are more casual in their language. Some people like to be a little bit more formal or evidence-based. And so it's kind of, you really have to find that sweet spot and also take into consideration how the content is being seen on the other end as well, because ultimately, you know, you want to do a good job for the business that you're working with, but you also want to make sure that the content that you're producing is attracting the right clients or customers to their business, which is kind of a balance, right?
I compare it almost to like Photoshop. Like it's still going to look like you, but just the best version of you.
I really like that. The gloves are coming off. And I know you have some thoughts on this. Mark Twain said, there is no such thing as an original idea. Do you agree or disagree with this?
Both. Which is kind of I am taking a stand, even though that's a bit of a waffling question or waffling answer, rather. I think the motivations in human life and the emotions and that sort of thing, there's no originality there because those are the same things from the beginning of time. You know what I mean? We feel the same things as our ancestors did thousands of years ago. That stuff doesn't change. And even the way that we tell stories doesn't change in a structure sort of way. Like Homer's Odyssey follows the same structure as the Hunger Games. Right.
Yeah. And every love story is a remake of Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly. And Romeo and Juliet wasn't the first love tragedy either.
No.
You know what I mean? And I think sometimes it's how we think about originality, that it's okay to have some things that are fixed and consistent. You know what I mean? Like having, and I don't know if I'm getting too philosophical about it, and I apologize if I am.
No, this is good.
But there are some things that are consistent, and that's not a bad thing. You know, that's okay. And it's actually good because when we're listening to things and we kind of know in some ways what to expect, we consume it better because it's already, we already
pattern. Kind of,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So what I was thinking of when you had asked this originally was I used to live in Toronto, actually, Queen East. And so when you go along the Don River, when you go over the bridge there, there's a bridge that says the river I step in is not the river I stand in. And it made me think about ideas because ideas aren't just ideas in a vacuum. They kind of exist in this moving, changing life, right? So the people we are change, the people that we're talking to change. So when we show up on social media, we might be saying the same thing that they've heard 100 times before. But who knows what's going on with them that today is the day that it clicks or today is the day that they hear it the way they need to hear it to make that next step. So we might not have an original idea, but it's existing in a constantly changing world. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm thinking about it from, I don't talk a lot about this on this particular podcast, but you know, I do have a digital strategy background and I'm actually thinking about website design. And so one of the things that I see in that side of my life is that people always want to reinvent the wheel and be original. But at the end of the day, you want people to come to your website and to know what to do. So the best thing to do is actually to reuse some of those common patterns that are used in some of the other websites that they frequently visit. And so, you know, I think about Amazon, I think about Best Buy. Those structures are familiar most likely to people in terms of like navigation, searching, and then checking out. And it's okay to steal from that because it's going to help your business at the end of the day. So maybe I'm getting a little bit too philosophical or geeky in the other direction, but But I think it's, you know, and you can build upon that and improve. That's the beauty of digital.
Yeah.
But it's okay for it to be the same sometimes.
Exactly. And I think even if we are trying to get the person we talk to a different point, we have to start with a place where they already agree, like a common ground. You know what I mean? So I don't want to say originality is overrated, but in some ways it is, because you have to start, you have to meet people where they are to get them to where you want them to be. Right?
Yeah. No, I
and again, I'm probably really meta and I apologize. No. It's why I call myself a nerd.
and that's okay.
Yeah.
I think you're the first self-identified nerd I've had on this podcast.
You know what? I think nerd is just another way to say passionate. We should be geeks. Yeah. But does that kind of answer the question the way you were maybe not expecting it, but it makes an okay podcast?
It does indeed. Okay. There's no right or wrong answers on this. And everybody has a different perspective. So, so from what you said, like, you can definitely put a new spin on an old idea. And even if a story has been told before, sometimes it might not have clicked in the way that we intended it. And so one of the things I do see is female entrepreneurs struggle with this a lot. There's a Facebook community that I'm a part of. And I actually, it was what sparked the inspiration for this podcast interview is I saw someone feeling very upset about that their idea had been stolen, so to speak, by somebody else. And nobody had ever said it that way before. And maybe because I like to geek out another way, I was like, I'm going to go to Google and see if somebody else has said this phrase. And they had, like, I could find Google results. So it was totally there. But I was like, is any idea original? And how do we, I guess, how do we sort of over, one, do you agree that it's social media is a bit of a gray zone because everybody is sort of just riffing on the content that's going out and maybe being inspired by something they see and then want to tell it from their angle? You know, one of the recent things that we've seen is these red flag content pieces that has come from Twitter and it's gone to the different platform and everybody's just making it their own, right? It's the same idea, but it's told from their perspective. And so do we ever really own our social media ideas?
I don't think we do. I don't think we do. Like, we even think about in music, most songs are using the same three chords, but it creates all these different songs from that same, and even music itself is inspired from, you know, so there is kind of that fine line as what's inspiration and what's straight up plagiarism.
Right? there is a fine line on that one.
There is. And I think sometimes it's not so much is social media original, it's almost our own perspective on it. Because if I'm upset that someone's stealing my idea, am I putting too much value on the idea? Is that why people work with me? Because I have a totally original way of phrasing things? Or do they work with me because of all those little things that make me me? You know what I mean? So I think if that's the hill I want to die on, that somebody's stolen my idea and I'm outraged at it, am I not taking into consideration that people work with me because of my experience, my background, my, like, all of that value, not just this one thing.
I see where you're going with that. It's interesting to sort of flip it around. And, you know, you've probably heard the expression, like, imitation is the best form of flattery, right? And so, you know,
it is hard to take it as flattery in the moment where you're like, no, I worked so hard on that.
And I thought about that content and all of a sudden, you know, somebody you feel has ripped it off or, you know, trying to quote it as their own. And I think one of the things that I'm big on is I think it's a gray area. And I do believe that, I guess I do agree with what Mark Twain said, is that no idea is really original, but I think we can't be original in how do we shape those stories for our own, if that makes sense. But what does bother me on social is the credit. So if you are using a quote, take the time to actually see if it's being said and attribute it, like that kind of bothers me. And then, yeah. Although we're talking about more like written content, the visual side, you know, maybe cropping images and putting it in your feed and then not acknowledging the artist or the illustrator, yeah. That's wrong. And we need to change that for sure.
For sure. Yeah. No, people work hard.
Yeah. No, for sure.
My sister's a photographer.
Oh,
and so
yeah,
all so the little things that go into like a making a beautiful image that should be credited.
Okay. Yeah. And so how do we as female entrepreneurs drown out the noise? And, you know, we might not be coming up with original ideas per se, but how can we be original in our thinking? Do you have any tips or tricks in terms of actually kind of taking the time to think through your content as your own?
Yeah, I think it's the advice that our moms all gave us, and we rolled our eyes at it, of be yourself. Just go and be yourself. But embracing, because sometimes we look at social media and we think that to be successful, we have to be that person. Right. And that's something I'm trying to embrace in my own branding, that I'm not the cool kid. I am a giant nerd. You know, I'm going to make really cheesy puns, and that's who I am. And that's okay. So part of it is this whole mindset of you are you, and that's great. And that's who people, especially with social media being about relationships, it's showing up as yourself. And the people that I heard it recently said, the things that I want me also, right? Mm-hmm. Like there is that person that's going to look at me and be like, oh gosh, no, pass, and completely scroll me by. But there's going to be someone else that's going to be like, yes, I want a word nerd. And that's the person I want. And that's going to be the client that I work well with and that I produce my best work for. So it's just kind of having that, I don't know, kind of that faith that that person is out there that wants me to be me. I don't know if
it does. And, you know, it's something that I think about a lot in terms of being a social media strategist is I'm not for everyone and everyone is not for me. And it's okay if they scroll on by or, you know, they talk behind my back and be like, oh, Kristen is not this or that, because ultimately those aren't the people that I want to work with. We wouldn't be a good match.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's, if you aren't yourself in your content, the chances increase of you attracting the wrong people to work with you because you're pretending to be something you're not.
Yeah. I was going to say, or attracting no people because we can see phoniness. You know what I mean? Like from the audience side, we can see when somebody's putting on a bit of a show and we're naturally like, pass, when there isn't that, I don't know, that trueness, that authenticity.
Yeah. And I think it's rare to find, it's hard to find authenticity, you know, and people that genuinely care about their communities and to want to build the relationship, you know. I'm fortunate the women that I know, they are, but there's a lot of bad advice and bad content being shared out there that I think is luring people in with these false promises. And going back to what you said at the beginning, is words are powerful. And, you know, there is a little bit of an underside, I feel, to the female entrepreneurial world where people are using their words to pull people in with these false promises and big investments, and it's not taking people in the right direction. And this is so not about originality, but this is why I love this podcast.
I love tangents. Not for writing, but for conversation. And I think too, also with social media, like part of my passion in what I do is that people get in their own heads too much. And then it's just that blinking line, and you write nothing. And then you think about how you're writing nothing. And, you know, just that. And I think sometimes it's taking the pressure off. And you know, the bad thing about social media is that it's scrollable, but the good thing is that nobody's expecting a Pulitzer piece, or, you know, we're expecting that for ourselves, but other people aren't. So that's what I kind of like about your message too, is imperfectly perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you can't edit a blank page, just get something out, and that's your good starting point. So just start.
Yeah. And I do think that sometimes women, it's particularly challenging for us because we take things to heart, right?
Yeah.
And I guarantee everybody listening to this at some point has been told they're not a good writer or they didn't do something right. And it sticks with you. Like, I had a boss years ago where she corrected how I start my emails. And this is 15 years later. I'm still thinking about that every time I write emails of like, oh, I can't write it in the way that I want to because it's wrong. And, you know, it's taken a long time to sort of shift my own mindset to being like, actually, I'm not a bad writer. No. Maybe I'm not the right writer for a person.
My emails are fine.
I use a lot of exclamation marks to come across as friendly. That's my downfall, but maybe it's a pro. But yeah.
I don't know. I like exclamation marks. I think we should get excited. No, and I think also our English teachers messed us up a little bit, you know, that there is a right or a wrong way to write an essay and you have to have 1500 words and all this. And that's true. There's rules for academic writing. Mm-hmm. The rules are a little looser for social media and for web writing. So we have to kind of, you know, unlearn all that.
Yeah. Do you writing for businesses' websites?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. So this is another area. I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with the content on their website because they write about it from their perspective. What's your one tip for someone listening to do and to go look critically at their website?
Am I allowed to say hire someone else?
Yeah, you can.
because it is sometimes people are asking for a drink and we're giving them a fire hose. We think that they need to know everything A to Z, alpha to omega, that there is to know in that first content. Yeah. And that's really overwhelming. And it's having the opposite effect because you get too much information and our brains just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not what does everybody need to know to make a purchase? It's what do they need to know to take the next step? And that's a lot less information.
Yeah.
Right. We drown people in information and our lives are drowned in information and it's too much.
Yeah, no, it is too much. And yeah. I think my personal pet peeve is landing on someone's website, especially when I'm on my phone, and within a second, a pop-up appears asking me to subscribe to their newsletter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even know if I like you. I don't even know what you do. And now I'm having this very irritating experience of trying to close on my phone your pop-up. I'm done.
And my fingers don't work with the phone screen and I can't get the stupid little X. Yeah, no, no, no. And it's like, I've turned off you before I realized how great you are. Yeah, no. So what I tell a lot of people is that first message should be clear, because I find sometimes it takes a while to figure out what someone does, right? So it should be like who you are, what you do, why do I care? What's the next step? And that can be like one or two sentences max. It doesn't have to be a novel. It's really just, and again, especially I read recently, our attention spans are going down by like 15% every 10 years. I know, it's terrifying. Yeah. But it is, you have to answer those key questions out the gate.
Yeah, right? No, for sure. Okay. I like what you said about hiring someone else. So on that note, how can people find more about you?
So the best place to find me, either my website, which is www.tripodcopy.com, or on Instagram, I'm Mel the Word Nerd, and there's periods in between the words.
Okay. Nice. Did you That's do that on purpose?
Yeah. Mel the Word Nerd was getting, without the periods in between, it was hard to read.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. There's not a different Melba Wordner than I'm distinguishing
from. I was like, oh my God, is there two of you?
Is that a thing? It will be because someone will steal my originality.
Like how you brought it back. So on that note, thank you so much. This has been a very interesting conversation. I like where we've gone with this. And I know my listeners will as well. So thank you. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Perfectly Imperfect Social Podcast. If you like what you've heard, I'd love for you to leave me a review or to subscribe so you can make sure that you don't miss out on future episodes. And I'd love to continue the conversation over on Instagram @KirstenJordanDigital. Until next time, keep being perfectly imperfect.